Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And what a spectacle taking place right now as we speak in a Senate hearing room in Washington. The heads of the five biggest oil companies in the United States are appearing before a Senate committee to defend the tax subsidies they get from American taxpayers. Talk about a group photo. These are CEOs of Shell Oil, ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips, BP America, and the Chevron Corporation. New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez, who is one of the leading Democrats at these hearings, has told us that he will pop out of the hearing for a few minutes to give us his take on it. Coming up shortly, with us right now is Dan Berman, energy reporter for Politico. He's got a piece called What to Watch When Big Oil Testifies. Hi, Dan. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, good morning.
And let's do a little what to listen for. Let's go right to a clip of John Watson, the chairman and CEO of Chevron, testifying just a few minutes ago about the relationship between the tax subsidies and price.
More domestic supply, along with aggressive measures to use energy more wisely, is one of the most effective ways to counter rising energy prices, enhance our energy security, and stimulate economic growth. Tax increases on the oil and gas industry, which will result if you change long-standing provisions in the U.S. tax code, will hinder development of energy supplies needed to moderate rising energy prices. It will also mean fewer dollars to state and federal treasuries and fewer jobs, all at a time when our economic recovery remains fragile and America needs all three.
The CEO of Chevron, John Watson, moment ago at that Senate hearing. So Dan Berman, from Politico, put that in context for us. What's going on at this hearing right now, and what are the politics behind what we just heard from John Watson?
John Watson is pretty much saying what all the big five folks up there are saying, is that, you know, the oil industry is an economic engine for the U.S. Domestic U.S. energy is better than getting it from overseas. They fund thousands, or depends on, who you listen to, thousands, millions of jobs in the U.S., either directly or indirectly. They keep prices low. They pay their taxes. They pay royalties to the Treasury. Basically they're saying, any attempt to fiddle with this is going to cause problems for the economy. The Senate Democrats and President Obama have been targeting some of these tax incentives for years. And, when you have a $4 gasoline or more, such as in New York, you can get the public angry with, why are these companies making, billions of dollars in profit? Exxon posted $10.7 billion in earnings in the first quarter of the year. People start to ask those questions. Well, why do we need to then, pay tax incentives? Why do we need to give these guys a break?
This is one of those moments, right? I'm thinking of when all the tobacco company executives were called to Congress and all raised their hands and swore on the Bible or the Constitution or whatever they swore on that they had no evidence that cigarette smoking causes cancer. I'm thinking of the Major League Baseball players. Canseco and McGuire and the others all came and lined up and said, steroids? What steroids? I don't know anything about steroids. Is this another one of those moments?
I think that the Senate Democrats obviously hope so. The image, they had this similar hearing last year during the middle of the BP spill in the Gulf. The image of these senior executives testifying, basically they have to defend. They're in the position where they have to defend their industry. They can't say, well, gasoline prices are too high and we're going to cut it back to $2 a gallon. They have to, defend, their companies for their shareholders, and they have to, defend, the fact that they get this money or they get these incentives. Democrats are kind of hoping for the corollary to what you're talking about. It's kind of the YouTube moment. You get one of the executives or, perhaps one of the Republican senators, saying something that, looks bad on video, and then all of a sudden that's, the story for a while. Last year, Joe Barton, a Republican of Texas, kind of famously apologized, literally to BP, for the way they were being treated by the White House.
And then he apologized for apologizing.
Right, and that, you know, but you know, by then it's too late, and you know, all everybody thinks is that, hey, like, why are we apologizing to BP? They're the ones spilling the oil.
Right. I'm also thinking of the, you know, the time the car company executives had to come a second time to Congress after they flew down in private jets to ask for the bailout because they were, you know, going they were going under. Then I guess they rode their bicycles from Detroit the second time around.
Exactly, and it's you know, this, you know, the hearing like this is all about image. You know, it's, you know, they, you know, the Democrats are, you know, and kind of, you know, actively trying to make sure that, you know, from their point of view, the American people know who the villain is. No one has ever lost votes for going after big oil, I don't think. And no one likes paying, you know, $4 for gasoline.
All right. So trying to make their case while avoiding that YouTube moment. Here's a little bit more of John Watson from moments ago. Again, he's the CEO of Chevron.
First, the oil and gas business pays its fair share of taxes. Despite the current debate on energy taxes, few businesses pay more in taxes than oil and gas companies. The worldwide effective tax rate for our industry in 2010 was 40%. That's higher than the U.S. statutory rate of 35% and the rate for manufacturers of 26.5%. Between 2005 and 2009, our industry paid or accrued to the U.S. government almost $158 billion in taxes, royalties, and fees, including $98 billion in federal income taxes. That totals nearly $86 million a day. Changing important tax provision outside the context of broader corporate tax reform would achieve one unmistakable outcome. It would restrain domestic development and reduce tax revenues at a time when they are needed most. Likewise, calls to raise royalty fees will increase the cost of doing businesses in places like the Deepwater Gulf of Mexico and impede development of these resources just when we're getting back to work.
Again, John Watson, CEO of Chevron, testifying before senators moments ago. We are expecting Senator Robert Menendez, Democrat from New Jersey, to actually step out of the hearing and talk to us for a few minutes. In a few minutes, we have with us Dan Berman, energy reporter for Politico. And, of course, listeners, you're invited in on this. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show or at Brian Lehrer on Twitter or a Facebook page. Dan, he was making a couple of interesting arguments there. One is that tax revenues would actually go down by closing the oil company loopholes or subsidies and making tax revenues go up because it would so depress their incentive to drill. Do you think he's on solid economic ground with that argument?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not an economist. I mean, I think, you know, it really depends on who you ask. I mean, some people say, hey, it's a scare tactic. You know, nothing is going to stop, you know, oil companies from trying to, you know, drill and get more oil, especially when, you know, U.S. prices are right now just a drop below $100 a barrel. There's plenty of economic incentive. There's, you know, still a giant market to buy oil and gasoline. You know, so there's no reason to think, hey, that all of a sudden, you know, the oil companies are not going to be interested in drilling for oil. What they say is that, you know, hey, they'll just, you know, take their, you know, take their money and do drilling overseas. That's great, but there's, you know, they're still very active in the Gulf. Shell is trying to drill in off the coast of Alaska. You know, U.S. policymakers haven't, you know, want to keep you know, the companies drilling in the U.S. So that's kind of, you know, their argument is that, you know, just like, you know, the U.S. might make it too cost prohibitive to, you know, to operate here. You know, I think Democrats will say that that's kind of hogwash, and there's really, you know, kind of this is a small tax incentive that's easily absorbed by the oil companies.
Here is a post on our comments page from a listener in Queens who says, oil companies supply a vital product that we want and need. Only 2% of their profits come from retail sales at the pump. Yet with the help of the mainstream media, Democrats have effectively demonized oil producers. Now Democrats are using cheap demagoguery for political gain. Here's why. One, whatever additional revenues we get from discontinuing oil subsidies are a drop in the deficit bucket. Two, why won't Democrats be a fair broker and rescind subsidies to all businesses and industries? Wouldn't that close the deficit gap further? Three, oil is one of the most heavily taxed products. So I wonder on any of those, let's pick the second one. Why won't Democrats be a fair broker and rescind subsidies to all businesses and industries? And that's a really interesting question, Dan, because I think this whole debate begs the question of the entire concept of giving companies selective tax breaks if we think they'll serve a social good. In this case, if we take the policy as even being this earnest, it's more energy independence and lower prices compared to what they would otherwise be. Is it too big a question to ask where this fits into that larger strategy of tax policy generally?
I don't think it's too big of a question. In fact, this has come up on the Hill, where some Republicans have said, Paul Ryan, for instance, the budget chairman in the House, have said, hey, he would be open to looking at some of these oil subsidies, oil incentives, if it was part of a larger arrangement. I know, several Democrats and Republicans alike have, long gone after the ethanol subsidies and incentives. But like you said, those are designed, not necessarily designed, to keep, the U.S., making the domestic fuel. But, that's pretty expensive. You have subsidies for wind and solar and all sorts of other energy sources. And, a lot of people say, well, why not just let them all compete in the marketplace? Why, bother subsidizing any of them? But then you do run into the question, well, we want to encourage American industry investment, kind of domestic fuels, you kind of need to help some of these industries grow. Some of these oil incentives, in fact, date back to, 1918, I think, is one of them, when, they were trying to encourage, investment in this particular industry. Within the current budget climate, and Congress is looking at everything. There are lots of, especially the Tea Party Republicans who, say, hey, let's, cut the budget by trillions of dollars. And, these energy incentives are a really attractive way to do that. And other hand, say, well, wait a second, if we cut these incentives, we're going to get our oil from Saudi Arabia and, keep funding, unfriendly, some unfriendly nations where, they're willing to drill and have the oil.
Dan Berman, energy reporter for Politico, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And with us now is New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez, stepping out of the oil executives hearing. Senator, thanks for giving us a couple of minutes right in the middle. What's happening in there?
Well, Brian, the oil company executives of the Big Five are, pleading poverty almost. You'd almost believe that when you listen to them. And it's just hard to understand when the median income for the average American is about $50,000 that the Big Five that will make $125 billion in profits this year need an additional $2 billion a year for the next 10 years from the taxpayers of this country in order to be profitable and in order to continue to produce oil. So it seems to me that the marketplace is dictating their incentives. They certainly don't need $21 billion from the U.S. taxpayers to incentivize them.
We've been playing some clips of John Watson, the CEO of Chevron, from his testimony over the last few minutes. And I guess the oil companies and the Republicans are arguing that this is feel-good theater you've got here, but higher taxes for oil companies will mean higher gasoline prices than we're seeing already. Do you dispute the math?
Absolutely. The Congressional Research Service just put out a study that said that what we propose to do in eliminating those $21 billion of tax subsidies and breaks to the Big Five oil companies would do nothing in terms of increasing gas prices. And it's hard to have the average New Jerseyan, the average American think that because they lose $2 billion and would only make $123 billion this year, that somehow they'd need to raise the price at the pump even more to recoup that $2 billion.
If I'm an oil company and you raise my taxes, don't I pass this along to consumers in price to keep my profit margins from falling?
Well, Brian, first of all, I dispute the fact that simply taking away a tax break, some of which they should have never had, to believe that drawing oil from the ground is a manufacturing, unlike other products created in America, where you actually manufacture something and maybe send it abroad, or to believe that subsidizing these companies in the production of foreign oil, as we do by these companies telling those countries, go ahead and charge me a tax instead of a royalty, and this way I can deduct it back at home in the United States, that is, in essence, the reason why we should ultimately continue to give them those breaks so that they won't raise the price at the pump. And look, you know, when in fact they produce, their cost of production is about $11 per barrel for the big five, and we're at $100 per barrel in terms of price, it doesn't seem to me that they have to continue to raise the price of gasoline in order to continue to make even greater profits than they are.
Let me play a clip of former oil man and now natural gas promoter T. Boone Pickens on our show the other week, downplaying the idea that oil companies are getting massive tax breaks.
I don't know what subsidies he's talking about. The only one that comes to mind is the intangible drilling cost, and that's reviewed continually.
What's your response to T. Boone Pickens? The intangible drilling cost, the only subsidy that they get, and that's reviewed continually.
Well, the reality is that two of the biggest breaks they get, the ones I just discussed, modifications of the foreign tax credit rules and just simply not giving them a tax break for quote-unquote manufacturing. That alone adds up to nearly $20 billion over the next 10 years. And so if he doesn't think that that's a subsidy, I have a dispute with Mr. Pickens. I actually am supportive of an effort that he has promoted to try to move our truck fleet in this country to natural gas as a transitional fuel as we move to a renewable energy portfolio. But to be very honest with you, as I said, when oil companies ultimately go ahead and are able to abroad go ahead and get a break by saying, charge me a tax instead of a royalty for drawing oil out of your country. This way I can deduct the tax back in the United States. That really is, beyond the pale and not acceptable. That to me is a subsidy, and certainly the nearly $13 billion of the manufacturing credit, when all you're doing is drawing oil, you're not manufacturing anything, is really unacceptable. So I don't believe that those, can be called anything but corporate subsidies.
And let me play you another clip from the hearing moments ago. This is Rex Tillerson, the CEO of ExxonMobil.
All of us here today recognize the strain that high gasoline prices impose on many Americans, particularly during difficult economic times. And we owe it to our customers and to your constituents to address the topic of energy prices and taxes in an open, honest, and factual way. Unfortunately, the tax changes under consideration that target the five U.S. companies represented here today fail to honor those goals. It is not simply that they are misinformed and discriminatory. They are counterproductive.
Now, he used the word discriminatory, and we were talking with Dan Berman from Politico a moment ago about this entire concept of giving companies selective tax breaks if we think they'll serve a social good, which is, I guess, outside of the sheer influence of lobbyists detached from any policy purpose. I guess that's why some companies get tax breaks from Congress and some companies don't, or they get different size tax breaks. So some people are saying, well, if the Democrats are so concerned with this, why don't they just propose that all private enterprise in America just stop being subsidized and rise or fall in the marketplace?
Well, Brian, as you know, we use the tax code to incentivize the private sector and other entities to go ahead and pursue national goals. That doesn't mean that they have to be there forever. You know, we do research and development tax credits, and that has created an enormous boom in our country to be at the cutting edge of innovation. You know, President Bush in 2005 said, well, these oil subsidies were no longer needed when oil costs were $55 a barrel. Now it's just around $100 a barrel. The former CEO of Shell, John Heifmeister, has stated publicly that these subsidies are not needed to incentivize drilling. So at certain times, you may use the code, as we, for example, many of us want to use it to move towards renewable energy sources in wind, solar, biomass, in fueling our car fleets in different ways. But that doesn't mean they have to be perpetual. And when they no longer serve the national interest, that doesn't mean that they have to continue to live forever. And in this case, they certainly are not needed for incentivizing the oil companies to continue to pursue that which they are deriving in the marketplace rather robustly. So instead of making $125 billion this year, they'd make $123. I find it difficult for them to cry poverty when the average person is paying $4 a gallon at the pump.
One other argument they use along those lines is that they're competing as private companies with state-owned, highly subsidized oil companies in countries like Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, and Venezuela. Do they have a point on that?
Well, the reality is that U.S. oil companies, compared to where they operate globally, pay the lowest tax rates in the United States, and they pay the lowest royalty rates in the United States. So they're doing extremely well already, based upon our present tax structure and our present royalty structure. So I think they're very competitive. And the essence of that competitiveness is, I'd go back to the same mathematic point. If our whole action here is to take $21 billion in tax breaks away from the oil companies and put it towards deficit reduction, which is about shared responsibility, it's hard to say to the average American making a medium income of $50,000 that we want you to have to join in the pain of reducing the deficit, but that companies, five companies making on average $25 billion a year, cannot afford out of the $125 billion collectively to lose $2 billion, and that somehow makes them uncompetitive is very hard to believe.
Senator Menendez, last thing, and then I'll let you get back into the hearing. I really appreciate you stepping out and giving us a few minutes. We've had lots of New Jersey guests on the show this week, Mayor Cory Booker, Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno, now you. Are you taking the lead on this because you see it as a New Jersey issue?
I've taken the lead on this. This is something that I proposed well over a year ago. So it's not because of even just simply rising gas prices and the subsidy that taxpayers are doing it. I see it as certainly an issue for New Jersey taxpayers who are subsidizing the oil industry, but for that fact, every American taxpayer. And it's time to close the loopholes. It's time to close the deductions. It's time for big oil, the top five companies, to be part of the shared sacrifice of helping reduce the deficit.
Senator Robert Menendez, Democrat from New Jersey. Again, thanks so much for taking a few minutes. We'll be watching the hearing.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in just a minute, Raj Rajaratnam and the future of wiretaps. Stay with us.